If you don't know, we're Ernie and Iris Hodges. We're talking about our trip to Bolivia. We were down there, got back a week ago this morning. Had an interesting time there. As we told y'all on the Wednesday night before we went down, the most important ability when you go on a mission trip is flexibility, that you never know what's going to happen. When we got there, there were blockades by the farmers because they were disgruntled with the government over their price for their commodities, and so they were blocking them, all the major highways, including the highway for us to get out to where we were supposed to minister. So it was the middle of the week before we were even able to get out there. So I'm going to quickly show a few slides here, since, and then Iris will give her 30 minutes of prepared remarks. So that's a joke. Okay. So anyway, this is Placido and Tony Mercado, our missionaries in Bolivia that we went down to minister with and work with. There we are, of course, those are not our grandchildren, but we adopt grandchildren wherever we go. They are Gabe and Ezra, who are the younger two children of the other missionary couple that's there, Jason and Jenna Wigner, that work with Tony and Placido. This here is a birthing center that Tony, who is a physician, and Jenna, the missionary wife, who is a midwife, have opened up there. They have a problem down there, whereas the World Health Organization says a C-section rate should be about 15% to 20%. This hospital that's in the town of San Jose, where they now live, has an in-hospital C-section rate of 78%. Yes, that should blow your mind, yes. And so they are working with Mennonite women who are actually post-C-section, and be, and for the most part able to take them to full vaginal deliveries. And they're even working with the hospital of maybe incorporating this there too. But this is on the same compound where they live. And so they have an opportunity to minister these ladies there. Also in this house, which is basically a three-bedroom house they use as their birthing center, this is like where the living room normally would be. They've converted it into a waiting room. This is out on the property in Cochise. They're using the chainsaw that the church bought for them a couple years ago, and Nate gave them some safety instructions on last year and better how to take care of saws and not use them as stump grinders. But as you can see, they've taken these logs, they've cut them down, flattened them out, put rabbit joints in them for building for timbers, for buildings there on the property. Last year when we were there, this building here was only that light-colored brick at the bottom. They finished it the rest of the way up on 2.5 sides and have a working bathroom in there now. Woohoo! I'm glad for that. It wasn't working when I was there last year. Okay. This is Iris with Mirta. Mirta and Cesar are the missionaries there that Placido and Tony support that will be living permanently on the property. They're there now for about 6 to 8 weeks at a time, living in tents. And doing cooking. That is a oven behind there that the money the church gave purchased. The materials to build, that's like an adobe type oven like you would see in the Middle East where they bake bread and other things. And so it does not require any electricity. There's a picture in the gathering room. You see a car battery. They actually have a solar panel on the roof that they charge a battery with so they can have electric lights in there at night to cook with. This here is a ram type pump. It's down in the creek about 200 yards away that generates the water for the property. This pump right here 50 years from now will still be running without any electrical input to it just by using water pressure. This is the tank that it pumps it into. They're building this building here, 5 showers on one side, 5 bathrooms on the other. So even more improvement because they'll have up to 70 teenagers there for retreats and things like that. This is the building that we worked on last year. Okay, and so at this time, Iris is going to go ahead and share some information with you.
Hi. From what we've learned from Rich's teaching, I would like to ask you a question. Who here is a missionary?
I am.
Yes, we're all missionaries. I've only been to Bolivia with one other time with Ernie, but Ernie's made several trips. So in my few minutes, I would like to help you get to know Tony a little better. And in doing so, you will get to know Placido better also. And as I talk, I would like to ask you to listen like Pastor has taught us from 1 Thessalonians, to listen actively and contextually and try to put yourself in her shoes. There's no doubt in our minds that the Lord took us to Bolivia for one main purpose, and that was to listen. The first time we met Tony on this trip, she had just delivered a baby a night or two before, and she was showing us their new birthing center. It was just Ernie, Tony, and I there. And when we asked her how she was, with that question, she broke down and started crying and told us that she was burnt out. She was so thankful that we'd come and was thankful I'd reached out to her daughter, Emily, who had been struggling for some time. I had contacted Emily and asked her what we could bring take to her mom and dad to bless them personally and for their ministry. Tony indicated that my communicating back and forth with Emily had encouraged Emily and Tony as well. We know as parents what a blessing it is when another adult reaches out to our children, even if they are adults themselves. Emily was a young teenager when her father was falsely accused and imprisoned. She was with her mom during both of the boating accidents, but it was the boat tipping which affected her most negatively, as it did some others. Following these events, she suffered severe PTSD, but she's doing much better now. She lives here in the States, and she has nearly finished her college degree. So now I'd like to give you a brief summary of the major events in Placido and Tony's lives over the last 6.5 years. Tony was falsely charged and imprisoned. Placido was falsely charged and imprisoned, couldn't leave the country for about 5 years, and had to sign in at the police station monthly or quarterly up until this past May. They had to sell their home, both vehicles, and many possessions to pay legal fees. During this time, teams from North America kept coming to help with the medical ministry and building projects at the Rafa Training Center, with most of the logistic work falling to Tony. Tony continued to have her two ladies' Bible studies and other ladies' ministries. Tony and Placido experienced empty nest syndrome for the first time when Emily was in the States and Jose was busy with his studies at the university. Emily got married in September 2018, with Placido and Tony unable to travel to the States for the wedding. Placido's father, who lived with them for 20 years and for whom Tony was his primary caregiver throughout his worsening dementia and declining abilities, died in September 2018. And all this time, there was the stress of someone needing to go to the States and visit the supporting churches and write newsletters and prepare mission reports and etc. And in addition to all these things, Tony and Placido have maintained two offices, one in Santa Cruz and one 4 hours away in San Jose de Chiquitos, where they live, in order to be closer to the Rafa Training Center. When we arrived, Tony was following 14 pregnant ladies in various stages of their pregnancy. She delivered two or three while we were there. And since we returned, we received a message from Emily that Tony had used some of the essential oils that you ladies had donated to on a pregnant mother, and it really helped her to relax. And Tony was just overwhelmed by your generosity. And thank you for all the other gifts that were sent. Now I'd like to ask each of you to look around. Hopefully you will see at least one person you could call and say, "I'm really struggling. Could we get together for coffee or lunch? I really need to talk to someone." Or you know you could meet or call with one of our pastors and talk things through. Tony and Placido do not have this. They do not have a pastor that they can call on. They are not from the States with the option of coming home for a break. They give 24/7 for any need, physically or spiritually, and they need our prayers.
It says in James chapter 5, verse 13, "Is any among you suffering? Let him pray." And then later in verse 16, it says, Confess your trespasses to one another and pray that you may be healed. For the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. You know, I hear sometimes people say something. I think they mean well by this, but it really bothers me when I hear it. I say, well, we can't do anything else, so let's just pray. I hate hearing that. When you think about prayer as the means that we access the throne room of Almighty God, who has the power to affect anything in this universe that He chooses to affect. So it's not what we do when we can't do anything else. It needs to be our main motivating factor and way of motive and accomplishing work.